hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, doing a solo run today. James's train got backed up, but we have College Football Week 2 picks coming your way. I think James is dodging me a little bit after his piss-poor effort last weekend, but have no fear, I'm back from a winning week. Really quickly, just and as sorts of like a review for Week 1, the game of the night was Notre Dame Ohio State. I thought Notre Dame was very impressive on defense. That could have been partly because Ryan Day came out soft, and you know they couldn't really get anything going on offense. He was very conservative, which made no sense when he has the far superior unit on the field. But that's how it played out in the first half. His defense was very good, I thought, which is should be a good sign, contrary to how it looked last year, where they just kind of got bodied by physical teams, mainly Oregon and Michigan. And so it's looking like Jim Knowles has his claws in on the defense pretty early, and that is a very good sign for them because the offense is going to improve, and it'll get better. So Notre Dame, though, just major takeaways is that they just got out-athleted. They did not have the depth to kind of sustain like that level of performance all the way through the game. And ultimately, that's why they lost. Got the cover, which was kind of nice. But there are a couple other – honestly, there was a fantastic first big Saturday. A bunch of really close, exciting games. You had North Carolina, App State. That was just mayhem. Whatever Iowa versus South Dakota State was, not sure that qualifies as football. They were playing a different sport. And USC showed out well with like three defensive touchdowns, two defensive touchdowns. Michigan bullied. And really nothing, no big takeaways other than, well, you know what I've been saying. I've been saying Georgia's the best roster in the country. And they certainly showed that just in an absolute drubbing of Oregon, who looked unprepared. Very, at a very significant talent disadvantage, and you know what? I'm not sure that means that we should completely write Oregon off, but I think it's clear that Bo Nix, like James and I have been saying for the last, what is this, third year I'm doing this? For the last 3 years, he's just not that good. And he comes with all these high expectations because three times a game he will do something crazy, which really shouldn't happen, and then the other 40 plays he's running, it's just not working. But I will say, I don't think we should sell Oregon just yet. There is a ton of talent, especially on defense, and if they do decide to switch up quarterbacks, I think that there's talent on offense to make a run in the Pac-12. So keep an eye on Oregon. Keep an eye on Oregon. But unfortunately, James cannot answer for his crimes against humanity, where I'll just read. I tweeted a little spreadsheet out. He actually had more pushes than he did correct bets. So that's something. Good for a minus 7.65 unit day. Rough. Me, I was up 1.15, so very good, very profitable. But unfortunately, Houston was very frustrating. Almost had a little luck box win there. But just did not come to fruition. So it is what it is. We'll take the profitable weeks as they come. I will just kind of read off James's bets to start real quick. I will have him tweet out sort of explanations for them all. But really quick, Kansas plus 13.5. They are at West Virginia. I really like this. I might play a little bit of Kansas on the money line. We talked about it last week. Kansas looked great, and it's just a program moving in the right direction. And you know, after a pretty emotional little bit of a letdown spot loss against like a rival, esteemed rivalry for your school, might not be the best of spots for West Virginia. UNLV plus 13. They are playing at Cal. I think UNLV is. I would agree for similar reasons that Kansas is getting, it's just a bad program moving in the right direction, and Cal is Cal. I once liked the coach. Now I don't really know what to think, but it is what it is. He's playing USC minus 8.5, who is playing at Stanford. I'm very excited for that one. I don't know what to think about USC just yet. Because it felt like they were getting lucky with all these defensive scores and stuff, yet Caleb Williams and Addison looked like they were in prime form. So definitely that will be a game to watch, a game to keep your eye on. He likes UTSA minus 2.5. They are playing at Army, I believe. Up front, they looked stout against Houston, so that should be a big benefit. And really, I'll get into this when we talk about Houston a little bit. But I mean, their secondary was eh, it was iffy. And honestly, I mean, Army isn't going to take advantage of that, so I'm on board with this one as well. Middle Tennessee State, which I apologize for very greatly. That was a mess. And they are facing Colorado State. He likes the under, which is 56.5. And yeah, I can get behind that. Colorado State's defense actually looked pretty good against Cade McNamara, Michigan, for the most part. They really didn't allow that many explosive plays, which I kind of expected. And I mean, Middle Tennessee State's going to play insanely fast, but if their offense looks like it did last week, which I will admit I watched way too much of that game than I probably should have. James Madison also looked really good. Something to keep an eye on. But at Colorado State, great coach. And you got to wonder if maybe there's like a little fatigue factor after getting beat up by Michigan, but under 56.5. And then finally, Texas State minus 14. I don't know the reasoning for this. So we'll have to wait and hear what James has to say. They're hosting Florida International. But, oh, you know what? I think I do know the reasoning. Nevada got really lucky to beat Texas State, and they kind of blew them out, and the number probably stretched out a bit longer than it should have. And I think they had a lot of fumbles and unlucky stuff. So James likes Texas State to get margin on Florida International our year, who is an admittedly terrible team. So I get it. Alrighty. My bets for this weekend. We're starting off with Texas Tech, minus 3 hosting Houston. To start, I'm going to complain about Dana Holgorsen for a little bit. He is such an in bat he's such a bad in-game adjuster, really like play caller. Houston, or excuse me, UTSA was like giving them downfield passing whenever they wanted, and he insisted on just more and more short passes and bad run calls, and they really should have beat UTSA by more. But it's, I don't know, I like they had so many matchup advantages, especially on the outside, and they refused to take part in it. And now they're facing a talent upgrade against Texas Tech, and it's gonna be. And I also think Texas Tech has a coaching edge here, where I'm all in on Joe McGuire, and then even more so Zach Kittley, who we all know, we talked about it ad nauseum, and it was really starting to get annoying a little bit at the end. But he was a Western Kentucky, the offensive architect, and he transformed it into one of the most exciting offenses in all of the country last year. And so how is Dana going to be able to sort of scheme up against that, where he's going to have a huge advantage on the defensive line? But past that, is he going to be able to take advantage of that? And simply, I just don't know. Texas Tech lost their starting quarterback Tyler Shuck for a couple weeks, but now Donovan Smith steps in, and this is definitely not a downgrade. And I think there's an argument to be made that you should be upgrading Texas Tech because of this. Last we saw Donovan Smith outside of showing off a little bit against Murray State last week, but he dominated in the bowl game. He is in a very he's an elite runner of the football at the quarterback position, and he has very accurate, good downfield passing, which someone mobile in the pocket that could make or it could minimize the advantage of the Houston defensive line a little bit more than what it actually is, especially versus what Tyler Shuck, who's not as mobile, would be able to do. So I love Texas Tech minus 3, probably my favorite bet of the of the weekend. And yeah, I think they kind of win with margin too. I think this is one of the better teams of the Big 12, and they're kind of being slept on a little bit. So Texas Tech -3 against Houston. Moving on to East Carolina versus Old Dominion. And I love the over 51.5. This is probably tied with Texas Tech. These are going to be my two biggest bets. I did get a great number on the Wake Forest news of Sam Hartman starting this week, which was kind of all of a sudden, but it's not really fair. That number, it's moved 4 points, so I'm just not going to bother. The number's probably good where it's at right now. But East Carolina, Old Dominion. So East Carolina played one of the three most exciting games of last Saturday. They really should have beat NC State, who has a very good defense and one of the most conservative and unexplosive offenses in Power 5 football. And even still, the East Carolina defense was pretty fortunate to only allow 21 points. I love East Carolina's offense. It is aggressive, and it is very explosive. And they probably have the most underrated running back in Keaton Mitchell, who is just an absolute weapon. And I really hope they start scheming him ways to get him the rock way more. I'm kind of getting in on this ECU team. I think they're pretty live to win the American. Think about Holt Naylor's what you will. It's pretty clear he has an affinity for very poor decision-making, which that can either harm an over if the poor decisions are being made in the red zone, or it can really help one if those decisions are being made in ECU territory. But ODU their defense was probably made to look a little bit better than it was, just due to Grant Wells of Virginia Tech last week playing absolutely terribly. He threw 4 picks. There was a fumble too, so they were just gifted the ball 5 times. This is not a slight against ODU at all. It's not. They were opportunistic, which is what you're looking for. But ECU just has so much more talent at the skill positions, and I'd argue at quarterback too. And Ehlers just kind of adds something with his legs that Grant Wells does not. And so I expect ECU a very clear path to 30-ish points, 35-ish points. And Old Dominion, I also think that Virginia Tech, you know, they're going to thrive on defense. And they held Old Dominion to a pretty low amount of points. And I just don't think ECU is going to be able to do that. So ECU, Old Dominion, over 51.5, I'd play it up to 53. But we'll see. It's already moved up, I think, 1.5 from the open, which was 50. Moving on to Texas A&M hosting Appalachian State. Another team just involved. That App State North Carolina game was that will be one of the best games I'll watch, or more exciting games I'll watch all season. Pretty cool. Just first you got, I mean, there was 48 points, 50 points, I think, in the fourth quarter alone. And, you know, any shootout like that is just a very fun, very enjoyable watch, especially when it's kind of going back and forth and there's a little bit of a comeback involved. But this spot is terrible for App State. I'm sure it's really hard to get your heart broken like that and then have to come up and face, especially after scoring 60 points. And then you have to come out the next week and get just absolutely bodied by a top 5 defense in all of the FBS in Texas A&M, who Texas A&M pitched a shutout last week against Sam Houston State, who is year in, year out, one of the 2 or 3 best FCS programs. I really don't know who's made A&M's schedule, but I wouldn't say easy in terms of like the, I guess, lesser name schools in the non-con. Because they also get Miami later in the year, too, on top of App State and Sam Houston State, which, of course, I mean, they're expected to win those games. But still, you know, I guess these schedules are also made very far in advance. But anyways, so A&M should be able to get whatever they want on App State. I would argue that North Carolina has a comparable, if not a better, offense than A&M at this point in time. But A&M's defense is far, 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 far superior than what North Carolina's was. And they're going to get so much pressure up front. And Chase Bryce, quarterback for App State, when he's under pressure, it provokes some very bad memories of getting burned by him several times. And back to the A&M's offense, I know Haynes King is not as talented as Drake May, but he has access to a better receiving core than Drake May did last week, which is because Josh Downs didn't play. And he has a similar running ability and scramble ability that really helped Drake May. And so I just think A&M's going to score easily. And I could see App State struggling to move the ball a little bit just due to a massive talent disadvantage, especially up front. So Texas A&M, minus 19, like it up 21. Or 20 and a half, actually. Moving on. I don't have a number yet, but I'm just going to say bet Chase Brown over rushing yards. Illinois is a 4.5-point favorite versus hosting Virginia. And Virginia just allowed 5 yards per carry against Richmond, a not great FCS team. And Chase Brown and the Illinois front is going to be able to do whatever they want. I told James this earlier that if Chase Brown doesn't rush for over 100 yards, I might quit the sharp side. So, and I would imagine the number is going to be a bit higher than that, but it's that Chase Brown over rushing yards. Finally, my last bet of, or so far, Fresno State, been on the money line, minus 105, hosting Oregon State. Oregon State had a really convincing win over Boise State, but it was buoyed by turnovers and a really weak start from Boise State. Boise State is a team to keep an eye on. They subbed in their backup, who I imagine just wrestled the job away from Hank Backmeyer, and he was very big and very fast and had a 60-yard touchdown run that maybe three other quarterbacks in the entire country could do. But Oregon State, they only had a 3% win expectancy, which is kind of shocking. And really, if I would argue that if Boise State did not have started with the quarterback they did, I think they maybe would have won the game. I mean, it kind of flipped momentum a little bit, and there was a time where I was getting a little nervous about the Oregon State bet, and ultimately, Oregon State's defense and Chance Nolan really just kind of took control. But here, Fresno State is a far more talented team than Boise State, and they're not being priced like it. Oregon State is not 4 points better than Fresno State, especially in a primetime spot. Fresno State is simply more talented than Oregon State. They have a better quarterback. Slightly worse coach, I'd say, but it's Jeff Tedford, the coach, and Jake Haener are such a great offensive combo, and they are so good in the run game. They almost hit 600 total yards against Cal Poly, FCS team. Not good, but still, last week. And this is one of the best group of five offenses in the country last year. And Jake Haener he had his name thrown around as, he's the group of five quarterback who gets some Heisman buzz. And, all the ingredients are still there. And so I think that we're going to get a lot of points in this game. And I also I don't know if Oregon State has enough firepower on offense to really hang with Fresno State in this game. So in Fresno State, they've taken down Pac-12 opponents a lot the last couple years. I expect to do it again. Fresno State, minus 105 on the money line. You can take plus 1, too. Whatever you decide. 2, the marquee games. We are starting, of course, with the line may not reflect it, but it's the game of the week. Alabama traveling to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns. Texas getting 20.5. Total is at 65. One thing I found pretty interesting is Bama did not get many quarterback pressures last week versus Utah State, which, with Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, and friends, you would expect them to get many and really have the boys from Logan, Utah in a bit of hell, but I'm not too worried about that. Personally, I lean the over in this, and I lean Texas. This number is huge for a Texas team with the talent that they have. You have a potential generational college quarterback on the team with really good receiving talent, one of the best college running backs we've seen in the last few years. And while there are questions on the O-line, it's star-studded, it's just really thin. And so, you kind of flip to the other side of the ball. And I know it was against Louisiana Monroe, but Texas, I think, deserves credit for only allowing 160 yards in, what was it? I think they had only allowed 160 total yards before the 6 minute mark in the fourth quarter. Then, I mean, the walk-ons came in and backups, and they gave up like a 20 play, 80 yard touchdown drive. And but still, I think credit, they deserve credit for holding a bad team to bad stats and kind of living up to an expectation of sorts there. They're going to be really good at linebacker. They're going to be really good on the edge, or excuse me, in the middle. And I think the concern is how the Texas secondary holds up against an above average wide receiver core, I'd say. I'm not going crazy like other people may be, but it's Bryce Young. And so if he can just pick him apart, then Bama's going to score all day long. My main concern is how a thin Texas offensive line holds up against Will Anderson, Dallas Turner, and preforementioned friends, because they could really just completely ruin whatever Sarkisian, Quinn Ewers, and Xavier Worthy can, and Bijan Robinson can all get done if they're just living in the backfield. Everyone's favorite Heisman Trophy candidate, who will not win. I will say Will Anderson is not going to win the Heisman. But it's if they're not blowing up the game, then Texas is going to score a lot of points. And Texas is also going to be able to run the ball because Bama has really done nothing to kind of shore that up. So we've seen. And that's how they got into sticky situations last year against Auburn, against Florida, and all these kind of in those situations, it was teams were kind of able to run and run and run, and then they would open for much worse quarterbacks. So I'll say it opened up passing lanes, and then Bama needed Bryce Young to go hero mode to be, make which was it's still not talked about enough. That game-winning drive against Auburn was sensational, but even against Florida, like they escaped an overtime game due to a missed two-point conversion and all this stuff, and it all adds up. And I understand that everyone's saying that, Bama's the most, this is Nick Saban's best team ever, but I don't, why are we saying that? Is it because Will Anderson might be the number one pick and Bryce Young was the Heisman winner? The O-line's worse. They lost a top 10 offensive lineman and their second best offensive lineman of an offensive line that was not very good. And the secondary is going to be really good, but I mean, can you stop the run again? Is that going to be an issue? So it just felt like they were being anointed very quickly, and I'm not sure they deserve that. And that's part of the reason why I love Georgia. And there's I would argue that health permitting, Bama was the likely winner. Just kind of watching the first half of that or the first quarter of that championship game, Jameson Williams stays healthy. Georgia was having trouble with him, but I'm talking too long about this, about a game that likely ends in a Bama by 35. So I'll be ready to eat a little bit of these words, but I don't know. I still think Bama has something to prove to us for the hype this season. Because, I mean, this was happening to Ohio State, and then their offense couldn't move the ball against a Notre Dame defense that I think is outstanding, but many don't. And so, or maybe outstanding, or maybe, not that they don't think it's good, but maybe it's overrated to say. But moving on to an SEC ACC matchup. Tennessee is traveling to Pittsburgh to take on Pitt. Pitt is getting 6.5 points with a total at 66.5. Gun to my head, I think Hendon Hooker goes just nuclear, and then we see his name rise up the Heisman list a little bit. It's Tennessee's offense is simply far more advanced than what Pitt saw last week and really last year, if I have to be honest. Josh Heupel just runs that inventive up-tempo scheme. And I will say, Pitt has the depth on the defensive line and in the secondary to really show up and like not feel affected by the up-tempo scheme of Heupel. But I think these numbers are pretty good. I would say it's Pip should be plus six. I think it's a little large in their direction. And 6.5 feels right. It's if Pitt's got that home field cooking and the – oh, I did forgot to talk about Utah-Florida, which that was pretty infuriating, but I'll move on. But if Pitt's ready to kind of show up and, like, the offense looks a lot better than it did last week, I think they keep it close. But ultimately, I think Tennessee's offense, and especially their skill talent, is just going to end up being too too explosive for Pitt to kind of keep up with, where they won't be able to match it the score for score kind of thing. And we saw West Virginia kind of beat them up in that regard pretty well, which they just have a significant amount of less talent. So I lean Tennessee, or like a Tennessee team total over, something like that. But it's going to be a quick tempo game, I would argue. But I just don't think there's anything worth betting. I borderline didn't really want to talk about this game, but just from what Iowa did last week, they are hosting Iowa State, where Iowa's somehow laying 3.5 in a 40-point total game. I'll start by praising Iowa State. I'm all aboard the Hunter Deckers train. He's really good, and he showed out well against an FCS team. I'm gonna watch this game because I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, and I like watching bad football games. But the best, I think, so far this week, the best 1v1 matchup is All-American cornerback from Iowa, Riley Moss, taking on All-Big 12 receiver Xavier Hutchinson. It's going to be pretty cool to see. It's just two future NFL guys. I think Hutchinson had 3 touchdowns last week. He's big, he's fast, and, you know, red zone threat. Runs good routes, and Riley Moss is an absolute stud and is probably a first-round draft pick this year. I really don't have much of an opinion, but I really just hate Iowa so much that I'm probably going to talk myself into an Iowa State bet of some kind, maybe like an Iowa team total under. Iowa State's defense looked pretty solid, but it's Iowa's offense is so bad. You can leave 9 people in the box, and I promise Spencer Petras will not be able to do anything about it. He had a 1.1 QBR. I didn't realize that was possible. And it's a mess. That team would be so good with more aggressive play calling, because the defense is absurd. It's so talented. Jack Sanborn, I believe his name. Or Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell. He's just captaining the defense. It's so talented. And they won last week, and maybe they'll win in a similar way this week. They win 8 to 9 games every year. So, you know, the Ferentz family is obviously doing something right, but still, blows my mind. Kentucky at Florida, a little SEC showdown. Florida laying 5.5, totals at 52.5. Anthony Richardson absolutely showed out last week. Personally, I lean Kentucky and the under in this matchup. Kentucky has kind of some weird stuff going on. They had a running back leave the program. Chris Rodriguez has been hurt. I think he had a DUI a few weeks ago, so maybe it was a little bit of a suspension of sorts. But I'm ready to buy in on the AR-15 hype. He does things quite literally no one else in college football can do, just based on his explosiveness. Florida was a little fortunate to win that game, and I don't know. I think it's interesting to see how Florida kind of bounces back, especially at home. I wonder if there's a little bit of a letdown just in terms of the way they won. And I think, you know, if Kentucky is able to get Will Levis going, I don't think Florida's defense is super exciting, but you got to respect to what Billy Napier already has cooking. That was a big win last week, and they made plays when they needed to. Against a good Utah team. So I think the number's pretty good. If it got to 6, I'd look at Kentucky a little bit more. But I don't know if it's getting there. So lean Kentucky, lean the under. I think defense is gonna thrive this week. This is the most interesting game, I think, of the of week 2. It's Baylor at BYU. BYU minus 3.5. And totals at 53. BYU has a very underrated and significant home field advantage. And they also might be a top 7-8 team in the sport. I saw being a half point above a Baylor probably puts them at the 12-13 range, maybe a little bit higher than that. But I think that's sort of the group of five / independent reputation upon them. And they absolutely worked South Florida, who should be a pretty good squad this year, in a embarrassing way. They are deep on the lines, both lines. They have solid to great skill talent on both sides of the rock, and they have a super good quarterback. The hook is probably the only thing keeping me off this, because Baylor has top five offensive and defensive lines. I don't know what to think about Blake Shapen. By all reports, he's good, and he deserves the job over Bo Hannon, who they won a Big 12 championship with, and a Sugar Bowl, I think, right, if I remember correctly. But it's going to be interesting, because I think BYU's home field advantage is worth one of those 3.5-4 point edges, just because of, you know, how they pack the stadium. And on top of all of that, it's at elevation too, which Baylor might not be used to. So it's going to be a really, really great, interesting coaching matchup, where see how Aranda and why am I forgetting his name? BYU coach. Kalani Sitake. Yeah, Kalani Sitake. But it'll be interesting to watch. So thank you guys for listening. Go check us out on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Rate, review, and subscribe, please. Please, 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 if you're listening on Spotify, which I'll provide an update because I did so last week. Still can't log into my account. Very annoyed. But hopefully, I'm starting to lose interest in doing that anyways. But I don't know. Hopefully, I'll figure that out. Because if I did figure it out, I would go and look up the Sharpside Podcast, and I would like, and I don't know if you can leave reviews, but you can at least leave a like, a star, something like that. And I would go download all of them and listen to them all, because there's a lot of great information in all of these. So, and normally, a lot, especially with these ones when I'm going solo, it's me ranting, just like I am now, and just droning on and on about how I think Alabama should be like the second best team in the country instead of the first. So that's where we're at. But thank you guys for listening. Signing off. Let's go win some money this weekend. Good luck.